Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, hello and welcome. I am so honored. I'm seriously so pleased that you gave me an opportunity to have a half an hour of your life and time here on the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love, and I believe all lesser values than love devolve, slide into the rabbit hole of BS. When life is lived for love, we live in the beauty of significant truth, not as a weapon, but as a freeing means of living life without the need to hide behind our BS. Love pulls us up into the sunlight. Today I want to talk to you about the antidote for religious trauma. The power of love heals our religious trauma. That's today's moment with Pastor Bishop Randy Dean. I hope you'll stick around with me and tune in to some things that I think will help all of us, whatever background in religion you may have. So in order to get there, I want to make sure my mind is right and straight and moving in the right direction. I like to do a couple of things on the regular here. I want to start with the Lord's Prayer. It is my mantra. It is my meditation. And I offer to you in the same context. Also, I'll offer to you Love's Creed, which we'll do shortly after the Lord's Prayer. All right? Let's pray together the most prayed prayer in human history. Words that live for eternity. And we will stand on these words, I believe, in the simplicity of that small paragraph. Saying what Jesus said when he taught us these wise prayer words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Those succinct, meditative, contemplative words can give you a place to stand when everything else feels like it's falling apart. Now, let me give you Love's Creed, something I've written, and I believe it's helped me through a lot of storms, and it's kept me on the straight and narrow of simply love. Here it is in total. I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me, Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans and dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, let me offer this to you in short bursts. Ask you to repeat after me if you're so inclined, because I think it's something that can filter through your thoughts and your mind. If you want a copy of it, you can send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail. Otherwise, just tune in now and listen and repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there you have it. Again, my email is randydeanministries@gmail. All lowercase letters, all one word, Randy Dean Ministries. Send a request. I'll be happy to send you a copy of Love's Creed. Well, as I told you to start with today, I want to talk to you about a pretty profound subject, and I think it's something that's getting an awful lot of attention, not the least of which is right here. But it's something that I am painfully, keenly, distinctly aware of. In the United States of America today, since the turn of the century, since 2001, we have lost membership to the church, especially the church. I'm just talking here about the Christian church. We've lost the membership to the tune of 40 million members just in the past 20 to 26 years. That drainage of footprints into our doors is so significant. In fact, it is also translated into in that same amount of time, between 4,000 and 7,000 churches have shuttered their doors in this past quarter of a century. This is having a profound effect on our country, obviously, but also on the landscape that we call church. Now, I'm a pastor. I started pastoring really before I was an adult. I was 19. I was in college at the time, and I was offered a job as an assistant youth pastor. I took it. I snapped it up because I was just proud as punch to get in there. And so, seriously, my whole adult life, I'm 73 now. You can do the math. I've spent building and praying for and working and laboring and crying and weeping, laughing and dancing over the church. It's been my profession, my avocation, my calling. Nothing in me is opposed and against to the capital letter C, church. But what I am concerned about, deeply concerned about, is this machinery we call church here in the United States of America that is depleting rapidly, and there are specific reasons for it. Now, if you know me, you know my basic altogether now grand slam touchdown answer to all of that is love is the answer, and I believe that. We're living in a time where I just am convinced that the church has to understand we change or we die, especially here in the U.S. of A. We either change or we die. Now, I'm not interested in the church dying, but I am interested in the church being resurrected, being brought back to life, but brought back to life not just by rearranging the furniture on the deck of the Titanic, but by assuring and reassuring and reestablishing our truest vitality, our truest core value. Not our chaos that we call church, but the core value of what it is, and what it is love. Now, in order to manage that core value, we're also going to have to acknowledge that there's been an enormous amount of religious trauma that's gone on in the name of church, in the name of Jesus, unthinkably and horribly. But that religious trauma has caught up to us. I like to say it this way: we've been blindsided by a snail coming up on us, and this snail of the bleeding numbers out from the church over the past quarter of a century, it's caught us, and now this blindsided moment when we're having to ask ourselves some pretty hard questions. I've said the last couple of weeks we're in need of a serious, solid inventory of a fearless and no holds barred inventory of who we are. I didn't grow up in church, but what little church I had growing up, and then later as I came to faith in my high school and then later in my early or late teens, I was a member of a Pentecostal denomination, and evangelical theology was the foundation of my grip on doctrine. Now, at the center of that doctrine, at the center of that theology, was this idea that all human beings are born cursed. Now, I won't say it the way I've said it in public places where I get people's attention, but we have told people, you are God cursed from birth. The moment you breathe that first breath, you're cursed. Now, then people in my ilk and in my understanding, they'll say, oh, but babies, they don't have they're not fully understanding why they're cursed. And so there's a special grace for babies and for children that are not of the age of accountability. And I've heard all of that. But at the bottom of our theology is, regardless, however we try to get out of those bad fitting clothes, the bottom of our theology says you're born cursed because of the fall of Adam. The fall of Adam did you in from day one. Now, once that gets established, then in the mindset of people, in evangelical theology, we tell people you got to come to Jesus, you got to pray the specific sinner's prescription prayer, and once you say it the right way and you get baptized the right way, and there's certain formulas by which you must be baptized, and I don't have time for that right here, but all of this, and then you got to go to the right church, and you can't go to this church because they don't believe the Bible the way we believe the Bible, but all of that is built on this idea that you are God cursed from birth. Now, I'm here to tell you, as a senior citizen in ministry, that kind of self-loathing that gets built into that thinking is a very real threat to good mental health. When we've been pounded with the idea that this is how God gave us birth, we're born under the fall of Adam, from your birth, with no opportunity to choose that. It was just handed to you. You just entered the world with this baggage. There's nothing you can do now except come to the age of accountability. I know. But now that you're of the age of accountability, you're going to have to pray a specific prayer. And then the end result of that is going to be you're also going to be followed around by, if you're not keeping watch on your thoughts and be careful, little eyes, what you see and all of that kind of stuff, all that religious trauma gets built up in there. If you're not careful, well, oh man, you're in trouble. Here's a common phrase I hear lately about some of our political enemies. You know, there must be a special place in hell for people who, well, and then you fill in the blank. So we've got this monster doctrine of hell hanging out there. If you should die tonight and you go and you leave this world, are you going to go to heaven? Are you going to hell? And then here's that extra pressure. And in fact, that pressure is put on in evangelical services where we tell people all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. Some of you know the drill. If you want to go to heaven and not to hell, raise your hand. And then after you raise your hand, then we BS you and tell you, well, now that you've raised your hand, you're going to have to come forward and say this publicly when you thought you had confidentiality. No, never mind that. You got to come up here because Jesus said, if you don't confess me before man, I won't confess you before the Father. See, we've got a whole prescriptive notion that develops into religious trauma. Now, that religious trauma gets massaged into other iterations, whether it's Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian. Oh, and don't even get me started on some of the predestination ideas, who's chosen, who's not chosen, all of that sadness. But the religious trauma is catching up to the 21st century religious thinking of America. Here's an interesting statistic while we're talking about those numbers. 75% of the United States of America citizenry still consider themselves to be spiritual. Now get that. While 40 million people have exited the church over the past quarter of a century, of those 40 million and plus all the rest of our population here in the USA believe themselves to be spiritual. Now, that spirituality is going to be something, but largely it's not going to be. It's not going to be wrapped up and packaged in this self-loathing aspects that I just described. What's the answer for self-loathing? Drum roll, please. Love. The power, the distinct, the galactic notion that love alone is credible. all lesser values than love devolve into BS. And when we've got to grow our churches, we've got to keep people coming in the doors, we will BS you and telling you that if you don't come here and believe the Bible the way we do and say it the way we say it and make sure that all your T's are crossed and I's are dotted the way we say, well, then you're likely sliding into that big monster we call hell. And that's a heavyweight threat out there, isn't it? And if you've got that in the mix of how people feel about themselves, well, you've got the makings of some serious mental health issues. Evangelical self-loathing, Catholic self-loathing, Lutheran self-loathing, Presbyterian self-loathing, whatever you want to call it, self-loathing built upon religious thought and doctrine is a very real threat to good mental health. Because when we've been pounded with that idea that from birth we are in trouble of landing in H-E double hockey sticks, I'm asking you to join me to wiggle free out of that sadness, that brokenness, and come follow me, will you? Just give me a chance. Let's go embrace the really, really, really good news. Every one of us is born precious. Every one of us is born profoundly loved, profoundly accepted, profoundly received and embraced. Every one of us, every baby born, has God's loving eye looking in and saying, oh, I so adore you. It's a love that is beyond all reasonable expectations. And this love will never leave us nor forsake us. Not anything. Romans says, not life, not death. Death, no height, no breadth, no angels, no principalities, nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, see, I am so crazy. Call me crazy. Go ahead. I'm crazy. I believe that when we blink our eyes, that love is still there. When we blink our eyes into the next world, when we transition in the twinkling of an eye, into that next stage of living. And in that next stage of living where we're faced with the grave as it has seemed to tower over humanity. Death, hell, and the grave, though, has been conquered in Christ. Oh, and by the way, the fall of Adam's been conquered. I'm inviting you to come join me. Don't live in the fall of Adam. Come live with me in the rising of Jesus. Come live with me in the resurrection of Christ. Adam fell. Jesus got up. And when Jesus got up, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. The Greek word for I will draw is I will drag all humanity with me. So I simply believe this, that there is a grace of the power and the redemption of love that follows us for all eternity. Now, how that all plays out in terms of how God shakes us out and how God has to, I get it. There's judgment out there. I'll face judgment for my words. I'll face judgment for these words. But that judgment isn't based in hate. It's not based in being cursed forever. It's a judgment based on love. I know as a dad raising two kids, when I judged them for their failures, I didn't banish them into eternal grounding. I didn't banish them into their bedrooms forever. They might have other chores or other things they'd have to do in order to make right what they did wrong. But my judgment was based in love. I didn't want them to learn that I was unforgiving and unloving. I wanted them to learn that we could learn together how to do things a better way. And I am convinced neither life nor death will separate us from the love of God. I believe this love greets us in mama's womb. It greets us at the womb of the twinkling of an eye when I pass from this life to the next. I believe that love does not decrease. I believe that love, in fact, increases. Precious in the sight of the eyes of the Lord is a death of one of his saints, it says in Psalms. That's a scripture read for many, many, many funerals, one that I've read dozens of times in funerals and memorials. Precious in the sight of the eyes of God is the death of one of his children. Now, I am here to announce to you that love is the antidote to religious trauma. We are born loved, we will die loved, and we will go into eternity loved, eternally loved, embraced, and held. Will there be corrections that need to be made? Well, I'm living corrections as they need to be made in this life right now. And I don't have any expectation, but what in the life going forward as I pass on, well, then I'll see there'll be other corrections that'll have to be made. And in those corrections, I will recognize the enormity of the galactic power of love to restore Randy Dean and to restore you. Many years ago, in my puppy pastor days, I was, oh my goodness, maybe late 20s, maybe early 30s, pastoring in a little community called Clyde, Texas. And I was spiritually starving. I was reading books left and right. I was listening to, drum roll, please. I was listening to cassette tapes. If you don't know what that is, Google it, you'll see. I was listening to radio broadcasts, anything I get my hands on to feed my soul. And along the way, on an early morning Sunday, early Sunday mornings, I found this dude out in California, Robert Schuller. And he had this glass cathedral, absolutely flummoxed me. We were meeting in I called it the tin tabernacle because we didn't have a glass cathedral. And in our tin tabernacle, I was carrying Robert Schuller's message in my heart because Robert Schuller preached what I'm saying right now. And he said it with such eloquence and such veracity and power and beauty. He made the religious establishment absolutely nervous because he'd bring in movie stars and media personalities, and he'd interview them about their faith and about their religious views. And what I was hearing there was no religious trauma there. There was this glorious positive, and he talked about the positive beauty of God's truth and the positive beauty of the love of God. For this is the day the Lord has made. He would start all of his services. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That lit my little puppy pastor fire. I found out quickly, though, that Robert Schuller was not on the plus side of a lot of the religious community, just as Jesus was not on the plus side of a lot of his religious community. Because Jesus and Robert Schuller refused to use religious trauma. They refused to use religious shaming, religious fear, religious damnation. They refused in explicit and eloquent ways. And Jesus warned, if they hated me, they'll hate you. He wasn't talking about the bad, evil, sick, wrong people out in the world going to bars. No. Jesus was talking about the religious establishment who used religious trauma as their tool for maintaining control of the masses. So when Jesus came along and said, on this one thing, all the law and the prophets hang, love. And if you have love for one another, people will know you are my disciples indeed. Well, it's no wonder the Religion Incorporated folks lost their minds. They were absolutely losing their minds because you can't take up good offerings based on that kind of nonsense. And so here came many hundreds of years later, Robert Schuller, who just took up the same beautiful cry. And he preached this positive power and this positivity that I gained so much from. So many of his sermons still burn in my soul. And even though as a young puppy pastor, I backed away because I was attacked. I was hated by many in the religious community who thought I had lost my evangelical zeal. I wasn't sending people to hell easily enough. I was giving them way too much way out of hell and giving them way too much heaven on earth, which, by the way, the Lord's Prayer teaches me to live heaven on earth. So I backed away, and But I've come back, and I'll tell you, I have come back to my senses, and I have given up on religious trauma in the best way I know how. I haven't done it perfectly, and I haven't always done it, as I just said. But I have come to this stage in my life to tell you that love alone is credible. Love alone holds life together. Love alone is the passageway from this life to the next. And when my eyes close in this passage, my eyes will open in the next, in a twinkling of an eye, and I will be looking into the eyes of the most incredible, vivacious, magnificent, throbbing, beautiful love. Those watery eyes of God will look into his child and say, "Oh, baby boy, I love you." Well, I got to call this to a bring this to a close for now, and I'll continue on this path next week. I'm going to talk to you about how we are healed of religious trauma by the thundering power of love. I'm going to preach love like hellfire and brimstone, because there is no fire hotter than love. We're going to get rid of the hell part of that fire. Now, I just want to remind you of a few things that we do here in closing. And first of all, I want to remind you that the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time. So what that means is, don't worry about heaven or hell. Bring yourself into right now. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said, "Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others." Because love is the only answer, folks. Love is the balm in Gilead. That's an Old Testament reference. Is there no balm in Gilead? And the answer is yes. Love is that medicine. So I want you to join me now, and let's take some good, deep, cleansing breaths. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can, hold it for a few seconds, and then exhale. All right? This is a practice. I can't give it all to you just in this little short time, but I want you to practice this. One, two, three. Inhale. And exhale. If you can do that 3 to 5 minutes in a day, slow yourself down. If you're feeling that existential torture of the fear of right and wrong, did I do the right thing? Have I done the wrong thing? Is there a special place in hell for me? I want you to stop and breathe and just say, there's a special place for you, whoever you are, in the love of God. In the love of God. I want you to remind people of that by being able to say the three most charmed, magical, holy words in the human language. And those words are, I love you. If you can bring yourself past the awkwardness, stumbling into it, and say it with eye contact, woo, baby, something's going to happen with a friend, a family member, a neighbor, maybe an enemy, a significant other, a husband, a wife, a child. Say those words and just watch the sparks. Watch the fireworks. And know that when you do, you're expressing God in the most basic and principled and simple way possible. Now, if I could just one more time say it, let's do something beautiful. Religious trauma has had its day. Let's be healed of religious trauma and rise to the significance and the majesty of love. Go out and do something beautiful. Hold a door for a stranger. Look somebody in the eye and smile the best way you know how. Give your eyes a little twinkle with everybody, all people, anywhere, and make sure they know, I don't know what's wrong with that guy or gal, but it looks like love to me. Let's do something beautiful. Why? Oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. Let's be the people of beauty and be filled with the love of God, showing forth God is love and love is God. God bless you all and Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.